One power is all there is. It's all there needs to be. It is plenty for everything and everyone. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we are grateful that you're here, and we welcome you to this wonderful place. We're here to remind you that such is the nature of life itself, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, so it is. Welcome to everyone who's here in person, and those of you who are present online. This is an exciting day for me and for all of us. This will be my last time to meet in person with Center for Spiritual Living Midtown as your senior minister. And it's going to be an exciting day, because not only are we taking care of the content and the speaking, but also the electronics. So anything that goes wrong is my responsibility, and we'll see how that all works. It's up to the internet to stay stable. So know this with me. There's one power and only one power in the universe. It is the very essence of life. It is the essence of each of our lives. And as we unfold and celebrate today, this wonderful new day, this wonderful new experience as Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, everything works in divine order. Everything works smoothly. The internet holds. Everything works according to the divine plan. So I trust it. I know it. And I know, as I'm speaking my word, I have the entire power of the infinite behind it. I let that be the truth. And so it is. Okay, I'm going to quit worrying about the internet. So welcome, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your ethnicity, whatever you call yourself, whatever your pronouns, whatever your thoughts about life as who you are, you're welcome. And I am very happy that you're here. I want to tell you that there is so much good going on right now in the world. We hear the opposite so much of the time, but today we're gonna work on shifting our consciousness, our awareness, to move out of that, oh my God, awful thing, into the, oh yes, God is good. Those of you on this side of the room, if you want to move over, that's fine, because I know I'm hidden behind a screen here because I've got a lot of equipment up here, and you won't bother me a bit. You can see me there, I know. So this is good. I just can't see you. All right, so let's talk about what we're doing today. Today we are going to do what we typically do, and that is you're going to hear about our Declaration of Principles, which you will hear about right now.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Magic. I can be in two places at once. It's wonderful. Those in the room only get to see that. So, that is a bit of our Declaration of Principle. The rest of it you'll find on our internet, on our website, cslmidtown.org. That is a small part of a Declaration of Principle that Ernest Holmes wrote just kind of on the spur of the minute when he was about to be interviewed on a radio show. And the guy said, you know, in a moment, I'm going to ask you what you believe. And that's what came out was Declaration of Principles. It's had a little editing, but not a lot. And the fact and the time, this was done way back in the 30s, I believe, is why the pronouns are still pronouns from the 30s, but, you know, translate it however you want to as you read and hear those declarations of principle. So some of the people you saw on there are practitioners. Some are board members. We have a practitioner with us today who is here with us almost every time we meet in person. She brings great knowledge, great history, and a real outward expression of this teaching. She doesn't do just thinking and meditating. She gets busy and does her business, does her work, does her ministry as a practitioner out to the world. She's really involved in politics. She's really involved in bringing new ideas and greater ideas to the Georgia political world. So with that, I can tell you with great joy, here is Barbara Guillory.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Bob. This is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be here today. I'm excited. Barbara Guillory, as Dr. Bob stated, and I am a practitioner here. Dr. Bob spoke about today, it's about the expectations. Expectations. So I want to kind of reflect on what my expectations were when I came initially. As most of you know, I was a Catholic. So I'm going to focus on how my expectations created my experiences. In coming to the teaching, my mind was one of divisiveness. It was this group that was the right group. This group was the wrong group. When you're a Catholic, the Catholic teaching is the right teaching. We oppose all others. And I'm sure some of you have been in that same space. But it's a separation from this group, from that group. This group that wears the yellow socks can't mix with this group that wear the purple socks. So my mind was always creating obstacles for me on an individual level. My mind was free. It was like Velcro. It picked up every thought, good or bad, fit or not. It was just the way my mind worked. And again, totally unconscious of how the mind works until I came here into this teaching. And of course, I now know that without some guidance, without some direction, without some correction, without some monitoring, I'm going to be defensive. I'm going to be confused. I'm going to be in chaos. I'm just going to be that victim. This is how my mind was working, setting up the expectations in my life, good or bad. So in the teaching, and again, through the classes, this is how I found out I was making myself that victim. But it was also empowering at the same time to know that I could also learn to manage the thoughts that created the expectations in my mind that directly impacted my experience. So my mind before the classes was making everything personal. So anyone that you're around, you kind of already know when they're taking everything personal, they're miserable. Everything is about them. You know, you can't say the sun is shining because they will say, well, it's just too hot. There's always a complaint. There's always something not right. There's always something broken. There's always something to fix. And through this teaching, I learned about the universal mind. I learned about the universal self. I learned about the universal oneness, all encompassing, all loving. And of course, this changed the expectations that I had for myself, thereby changing the experiences in my life. One of the ways is through the meditation that was new to me at the time in coming into the teaching. And of course, So was the process of the treatment. Those are two methods that I really built around and came into a peaceful way of my mind existing within the whole universe, within the universal mind. And it was through this process that I was able to create greater peace for myself, wealth, health, love, and prosperity. So I ask, what are the expectations your mind is creating for you? So I want to do a quick treatment. And as we center ourselves, I want us to have the experience of peace. And in doing so, we come to just be still. We come to know in and of itself, there's just the one universe. There's just the one mind. There's just the one magnificent. I will be speaking in the first person simply because there is none other but the one. So the I is us together. And as we focus here, our energy now is aware of the peace, of the oneness, of the love, of the goodness, of all things created and manifested by the universe itself. It is this one universal mind that has created any and all things that exist, including me. I am a wonderful expression of this one universal mind. And out of this one universal mind, I am a co-creator, and I co-create the experience of peace for myself in this one moment, in this very moment. And in creating this experience of peace for myself, I can now offer this gift of peace to everyone that I encounter. It is this knowledge of the universal mind, of the oneness, of the magnificent, of this one substance, and how it works, I am grateful to know. And for this, I am thankful. And so it is.
How about that song? I will surrender to my highest good. When I grew up, the idea of surrender was often to something that was not my highest good, that was often to something I didn't like or didn't want. You know, Surrender Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. No, it wasn't anything of that sort. What she's saying about is simply relaxing into and allowing that which has already been given to be received. And if you get that part, then you don't need to listen to the rest of the talk. However, I hope you will not talk while I'm talking. The whole point of this month and these talks and in what I'm bringing forward is the idea that we are in a huge paradigm shift. That's not news to anybody. We know that the things that used to work a certain way don't anymore. People's ways of gathering and ways of getting information and ways of communicating information have radically changed. And we don't even know yet what those changes all are until we try things and find out, whoops, that didn't work. Or we start to get ready to go somewhere and we discover within us a kind of, you know, it'd be so much easier just to stay home and watch this on TV. I think about that with football games all the time. You can see better. You can see what's going on the field. You can't do that in the stands. So, you know, all these ways that within us things have changed and shifted. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, a paradigm is a way, is a window through which we see and think and feel the world around us. We interpret what we see and hear and feel. And the paradigms have been shifting, and they have always shifted, and we are now in a big one. If you may remember, in the World War, right after or during World War II, the paradigm for women and how they will function in the world and what their roles in the world would be radically changed. All of a sudden, they were out of the being housewives and into the industry, trying to, you know, taking over the jobs that the men had because they'd gone off to war. And that never really shifted back, so that everybody was sent home, you know, wives sent home and husbands took over all the work again. What women, fortunately, were recognized as being absolutely valuable and important and having so much to give in other ways. Not that there was anything wrong with being a homemaker, but it gave the world a whole new window to look at things and to think about the role of women and all of that. And it's still shifting. We're still working through that one. The 1960s brought a shift of free love and sexuality and all of the energy and excitement of the 60s and the violence and the upheaval that came with that was the whole business of the old paradigm struggling to hang on and then falling apart. And we had to go to great extremes to push through that paradigm. And there's more, and you know, and 2020 with the onset of COVID, none of us in my life, I think, or any of us in our lifetimes ever imagined that we would get news one day that you got to stay home. Sorry, folks, but you can't go. Everything is closed. I lived right off of North Druid Hills Road, which is a busy, busy, busy highway. In the morning that all started, it was quiet out there. It took me 5 minutes to go to the grocery store, only the grocery store was closed. So I had to come home. Usually takes me 20 minutes because of the traffic. You know, things changed. And now, after post-COVID, some days I think that whole year is like a weird, foggy thing in my mind because it was such a radically different way of living. You know, but it pushed us all into this new paradigm of caring for each other, of taking care of ourselves in a way that we perhaps had not done before. It pushed us all into another way of being, another paradigm, another way of thinking. And we're still in the throes of that shift. We don't yet know where it's all going to settle, where it's going to go. You know, we all have those paradigm shifts within ourselves. Remember when you were a kid and nothing mattered and parents took care of everything, and then all of a sudden you hit puberty and people changed. Everybody around you changed, and how you felt and what you thought. And then you hit young adulthood, and then you right on through the various phases of life. Every time we move through and shift into a different phase of life, we shift into a different paradigm. So I want to talk about a big paradigm shift that I think needs to happen. Mel Brooks wrote a song a few years ago. I don't know how many people even know who Mel Brooks is. You youngsters may not. But those of us who've been around a while do. He wrote some of the most outrageous comedy that you could ever imagine. If you like really gross comedy, Blazing Saddles. But the song he wrote was a song entitled "Hope for the Good, Expect the Worst." And the lyrics all fall along that way. One person's drinking champagne, someone else doesn't have clean water to drink. I mean, he just goes on and on with these lyrics that are very depressing and very frustrating. But he points to a big paradigm that our culture right now is still living in, and that is many of us have already pushed through and beyond, and yet the world is still trying to figure it out and catch up. Hadn't gotten there yet. And that is that you hope for the best and expect the worst. Be prepared for the worst. News media, we all talk about this. I've talked about this. Other people talk about it all the time. The whole idea that the social media is set up so that it catches our attention with the horrible things in the world. Things that frighten us and things that make us mad. If you can do one of those two, you'll get people to click on your site, which puts us at a disadvantage because we're not in the business of making people mad unless they don't want good news. And some of them don't. So this whole paradigm shift is about moving beyond that into something different. Hence, our monthly theme for this month is expect the good. Shift out of expecting the worst. You know, I've had a lot of balls to keep in the air and things to juggle this morning. And I kept telling myself, Bob, you really signed up for this talk, didn't you? Expect the good. Don't expect it not to work. Don't expect that you can't figure it all out. Don't expect that, you know, it'll all fall apart. And that little bit of concern, I kept treating about that and trying to shift my mind. I should know by now, be careful what I set as a monthly theme or talks, because everything unlike it is going to come popping up in my mind and life. So I have to clean it up and clean it out again. And it's a good thing. It's a positive process. But it's a shocker when it first kind of hits. So all the way over here this morning, I found myself saying, I hope the code works. I hope we can get in. I hope the code works. I hope we can get in. We got here and the code didn't work. And we all gathered outside and had everything piled up and trying to get in and calling the people who are in charge. And David, who is in charge of the building, or he and his wife, I finally got him out of bed, woke him up with the phone, and he came over and with a key and got us in, and sure enough, the code didn't work. But we got in and we got set up, and here we are. We got food, we got ready to go, and there's snacks in the back, so you know, everything's done. So it all worked smoothly, but I had just a wee bit of that expectation of there would be something that I would miss or would go wrong, and that was it. And I'm so happy that we're done with all that for today, because the rest is all easy peasy. So that is the whole point of this talk and of this theme this month. We have got to find a way to shift our expectations out of expecting the bad things, expecting the horrible things, expecting the things we don't want, and create a consciousness that expects the good. You know, we've already been given more good than we know what to do with. We just don't always recognize it. We live in a universe that provides us with so much. Our breath, the fact that food is it's nourishing and joyful, and all of the things that go with that, all of the things that are coming to us, life itself. I often jokingly say, I'm grateful for another day. I'm looking down at the grass. It's a good thing. And it's the truth. I'm very grateful for every day I have alive to walk around on the planet and look down at the grass. It's a cool thing. Not that I will be dead when I leave here, but who knows what I'll be seeing or looking at that point, or any of us for that matter. So one of the keys to this whole idea of expectation is what Aristotle said. And he said, what you expect, that we find. So if you start to expect things not to go well, if you expect people not to like you, if you expect people to think something bad about you or do something untoward toward you, if you expect them to victimize you, then sure enough, they will. That's what you'll have. And the beauty of that is we've known this for thousands of years. Our culture, our Western civilization, is built on the idea that what we think has the power to transform what's happening in the world. Think about that. What we think and believe, not just what we wish, but what we really believe, has the power to transform the world. This is not a new idea. Aristotle talked about it. You know? And yet we're still figuring it out and learning about it. Jesus talked about it. It's done unto you as you believe. Nobody believed him. They all went in different directions. So the idea here is to start learning to expect that good. I love, Emma Curtis Hopkins is known as the teacher of teachers. She was Ernest Holmes' last teacher, and she taught many of the leaders of the whole New Thought movement of unity and divine science and all of those different threads that have very much the same thing we teach much of the same thing. And what her big keystone statement is, there's good for me and I ought to have it. And that's because if you're not having good in your life, or what you feel like and understand as being good, then something's missing, because you ought to have it. And ought is an interesting word. It's an old word. It's a, you know, not meaning the same thing today. Today gets kind of tangled up with guilt and shame and all of that. But in the way it was originally used, ought simply means duty. There is a duty to have it. There is an obligation to have it. So it's a part of the word ought. You ought to have it. There's an obligation to have it. Now, where's the obligation? The obligation is in the infinite universe that is supplying your good to you. And so when I say I ought to have it, that simply means I'm opening up to have the good that I imagined for myself. She goes on to say, your good is your God. What you really see as your highest and greatest good is your God. And that's another talk. We'll save that for another day. But the idea here is it's your good. So expectations then are not just wishes, and they're not just hopes. What the problem with hope is that hope is incomplete, because hope has an element of doubt in it. It has an element in it of not believing it's actually going to happen. I hope I can be a ballerina someday. Not gonna happen in my life. I already did that. I was 5 years old. I was clumsy. My main job as a ballerina was to stand in the middle of the stage because I was bigger than all the girls, and pick them up and throw them around and whirl them around and give them something to prop on. And fortunately, I was able to get out of that after a while. I don't want to be a ballerina, so I don't hope that. But I do hope this and hope that. And the danger is, anytime you find yourself hoping for something, find the element of doubt that's in it and get rid of that and say, you know that you know. You expect your good. I expect to be prosperous. I expect to be healthy. You know, I have some things going on in my body, and different doctors have said, well, you can't expect to be my, you know, your age and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm done with you. I'm only going to work with those people who believe and expect me to get better and healthier. Regardless of my age and regardless of what else I'm being told may be going on in myself. It's their thoughts, not mine. And it's my experience that create, and my thoughts create my experience. So we come to expect our good. Now, what is good? This is a tricky one. Because usually when you say, or when I used to hear good when I first got into this teaching, I thought of good and bad. Here's my good and there's my bad. My good is what I like and what feels good and what I approve of, and my bad is everything else. And so as soon as we get into that way of thinking, we are in a dualistic way of thinking. We're thinking of two powers. There's good here and there's bad there. And we're going to get into judgment about what's good and what's bad and who's wrong and who's right. Loved what you said, Barbara. Thank you for that at the beginning, because that's the divisiveness that goes on. The good we're talking about here is a good that transcends that level of duality. It's a good that is life itself. You know, you didn't control life. It just is. You don't control your attention even. It is. Think about it. You're aware right now of what's happening here in the room. You're aware of your thoughts that are going on. Now look around. Now try to be unaware of the room with your eyes open. Can you do that? No. You can imagine some other things, but you can't be fully unaware of what's in this space. That awareness is the eternal in you expressing. That awareness is the level of good we're talking about. It's the good, it's the mind behind the mind, it's the thinker behind the thought. Our good is not defined by our thoughts, it's defined by our awareness of who we really are. We are expressions of a divine power that's moving through you, whether you like it or not. And you're directing it and sending in different directions and having different experiences according to your beliefs. But you're not controlling whether it's there or not. You can't. Because it's beyond all of us. It's eternal. It's your beginning and end that is forever in both directions. Now, I know that's kind of heavy duty kind of stuff to think about. But it's what this teaching is all about. It's that first two steps of treatment. You know, we teach spiritual mind treatment as a way to change your thinking and change your life. The first two steps are God is, and fill in the blank on that, whatever your ultimate sense of ultimate power. It may not be God. It may be some other word. I use life a lot. Life is. And then I am. What am I? I am some aspect of life. I am the opportunity for life to show up as a big guy who's clumsy and sometimes doesn't think straight and who also is sharp and knows exactly where and what is going on and where he's going, that sees things from a perspective that many people don't. Not that they're wrong, it's just different. That's me. That's life coming through me. I am the guy. I am the place where God has a good time. I am the place where God has an adventure. I am the place where God experiences the joy of all age groups. You all know I go to teen camp. I'm the oldest teen camper in the world. Maybe not in the world, but certainly in our organization. And I'm proud of that because they love me and I love them and we have a great time. And if I'm having trouble getting out of a chair, one of them gets behind me or in front of me and pulls. And it works. That's joy. That's life. I can't turn off the life, so I might as well use it, allow it through me to be those good things that I find to be so valuable and so important. You know, the best good moving through me is sitting on the front table here, daughter and granddaughter. Wow. How cool is that? You know? There have been times in my life when I thought I would completely lose any contact with them. Because of my who I am and where I was going and what I thought. And yet all of the people in my life conspired to keep us connected and to help us be together. Because togetherness is love. And love is the expression of that life and that awareness moving through you and the recognition that we're not separate. That we're together. That we're one. Yeah. See, expectations do get a bad rap in some places. You shouldn't expect much because you'll be disappointed. Well, if you are disappointed, dive into that disappointment. Don't try to avoid it and turn away from it. Because it has something to teach you about who you are and where you are in the world and where you are in your life. It has something to teach you about how you're thinking and what you're knowing. Feel it. Let the feelings go and flow until they burn themselves out. And then the thoughts may be able to be clear as to what and why you were disappointed. Don't shy away from expectations. Shy away from expectations that are not of your good, but embrace those that are of your good based on those truths. Okay, so story. Great Expectations, that's the title of today's talk. And that title came from the great book, the great Victorian novel that probably all of you read in school at some point, that has many, many levels and things that it's about. The part that I love about that book is that young Pip had great expectations for himself and for his life. And he found them. He experienced them. He wanted riches. He got the riches and became quite the dandy and quite the upper class person who looked down on all of those strange people like he used to be and got very, very, what my family would call uppity with that attitude. His expectations were played out. But what didn't happen was that situation did not carry with it what he was really looking for, which was connection, value, and an experience of really belonging. He had to lose it all to get there, which he did. And by the end of the novel, he reaches that point where what really matters for him are love, responsibility, and honor, an individual, and the power to make changes in his life and help others do the same. Now, your English teacher may not have put that interpretation on it, but that's the one I get when I review it and look back at it. It was a very powerful book for me in high school. We read it out loud to the whole class, and we had a Baptist preacher who was in charge of that class. And he was loud and he was dramatic, and you know, some of those passages would get going, and teachers from down the hall would stick their head in the door to see what in the world we were doing. But it changed my life to get that idea implanted that great expectations pay off. That's how we get where we're going. That's how we create the life that we really desire, is learning how to expect it to come forward rather than hoping maybe it will, or seeing it that they have it and I don't and never will. Poor me. You know, we got to break out of all that, and we can. When I was a kid, one of the things we had in our house was, and my parents really went out on a limb to build and to create, to buy, was World Book Encyclopedias. Now, we didn't have the big fancy version. We had the cheapest one, but we had them. And my eighth grade educated stepfather, who was brilliant, but didn't have the opportunity to stay in school, read those from cover to cover, one end to the other. He used to drive us crazy with telling us facts that we didn't know. And yet, wow, you know, what an adventure to do that. Well, one of the books, it was mostly all the pictures were black and white. There were two or three color pictures scattered throughout. One of the color pictures that jumped out at me, big and loud and noisy, was a picture of Machu Picchu. The 50s, Machu Picchu was still being uncovered and explored, but there was a picture of it. Bright green, lush, beautiful, sitting on a mountaintop. And I said, one day I'm going there. And I've been there three times, maybe four. I lose track. In my mind, I've been there more than that. In my mind, I go there every week. But in reality, my physical body has been there three times at least. And it's a part of my life now, my world. Our consciousness creates ways for us to stay connected, and our expectations will show up in our lives. It may take a while. I had to get through into this teaching and really get clear about possibilities before that could happen. So enjoy the journey. Pay attention to what you're expecting. One of the most powerful things I've been doing lately is when I wake up in the morning and you know how your mind does, just runs around in circles in the morning. Well, what about this? And I'm going to get that done, and it's just going to happen. And what's that going to happen? Take a minute and be quiet and pay attention to what of those thoughts are fear-based and what are faith-based. What of those thoughts are saying to you, I'm expecting something bad to happen? Because that's what worry is. Worry is just worrying about, you know, it's putting faith in what you don't want. And the infinite mind will happily give you whatever you're paying attention to. So take a minute, shift that. I write it all down. I have the freedom to do that because I have time. I write it down, I wad it up, and I throw it in the trash. Sometimes I take it out in the backyard and burn it if it's really awful stuff, because I want to make sure I am knowing the opposite. I don't stop with just doing that. Then I do what she told us to do, what Karen said. I surrender to my greatest good, because those fears are not what determines my life. My life is determined by my expectation of greater and greater good. And it marches forward in that kind of way. I walk forward into it and with it with great ease and great joy. And I'm inviting you to do the same, because you can, because you're wonderful. So am I, and so it is. Thank you. All right, so I think now we're going to hear from our friend Vance.
Good morning, and thanks for that awesome talk, Dr. Bob. And now it's time for us to talk about why we're here. what we're doing here and what we can do for each other. And part of that is contributing. I know for me, my contributions to where I'm spiritually fed really help me in my daily life. And with that, I'd like to share where we can all donate here at Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown. You can donate on the website. You can use the QR code, or you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate. And if you would, say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now back to Dr. Bob for some announcements.
I got to teach that man how to talk slower because I can't even think that fast. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vance. What would we do without him? Well, he gave us all the directions for setting up today. He is at a conference out in, where is he? He's in Missouri, I think, Kansas City. And I'm very grateful for him. So announcements are that next week I'm going to be going on with this series of Expect Your Good and talk about what happens when the bottom falls out. Because a lot of it has for many people, and it continues to for many people. The fact that everything is hunky-dory one day doesn't mean that things don't happen the next. So we're going to talk about how to deal with crises, how to deal with that going on. And then the following week, Cynthia will be your speaker, and she will, I'm not sure yet where her topic is, but it'll be on the theme. And then the last two Sundays, I'll be back. One of them will be the Divine Yes, and then my last talk will be embracing the good. It's not enough to expect it. You got to embrace it and welcome it. And we'll talk about that. All of those will be online and can be found either on our Zoom, our YouTube, our Facebook, and anywhere else you may see it popping up. Thank you to Vance for all of his work in behind the scenes. To Paul, we call him Paulski because we're not sure how to pronounce his last name. He is our guy who is the techno person behind the scenes making all this happen. He's actually running today from San Francisco, as he does now that we've gotten him to be involved. And he created that video that you saw of Karen's song. And he's in a project with her creating new videos for her songs. So it's a rich and wonderful thing. So lots of good stuff going on. We've got, I should not say it this way, but I will. We've got our church ladies over there putting the food out for today. And we have a wonderful spread, so join us next time. Since you're not here in the room yet, although we're close by, come on over. We got lots of food. And next month will be the 1st of November, and there will be the first Sunday in November, and we will have the celebration right here in this same place, in person, with speakers and practitioners and all of it. So I say we. You'll always be part of my we. So it's all good. It's a great thing. So thank you so much, those who showed up today, those who are here in person, those watching online. Thank you for all of the appreciation and joy that has been coming my way as I'm starting this brand new adventure, which I am starting in November from the West Coast, wandering around till I figure out what I'm going to do next. Now, I'm going to wander back here to Atlanta. I'm not planning to leave the city. But I am wandering around looking for that next inspiration. So thank you all for today and for being here. So join us in our closing affirmation. And it is, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. So it is. One more word, and that is that tomorrow afternoon I will be on New Thought Radio Network being interviewed in a show called Grief, talking about the power and the gifts of grief. So if you're sitting around with nothing to do, you can watch it then or you can watch it later. We pre-recorded it yesterday. So see you then. Bye-bye.